WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
P.S. Mueller has drawn Godot waiting for his luggage, and Louie Louie at 40. Mueller is a cartoonist with a knack for absurdist puns, who only recently outgrew his childhood fear of Pinky Lee. Since 1979, his single-frame drawings have appeared in magazines and numerous weeklies, including the Chicago Reader, the Weekly in Seattle, and the City Paper in Washington, D.C. But it's only been in the last couple of years that Mueller has been able to make a living as a cartoonist. He's held down such day jobs as fry cook at Denny's, radio disc jockey, tropical plant caretaker, and copywriter for radio commercials. Many of his cartoons were collected in the book The Spread of Terror. I asked Pete Mueller to describe a few.
Well, sure. I don't know if it's going to help over the radio, but there was one that I did called Sadoventriloquism, and it features merely a kind of a deranged-looking ventriloquist stomping on his dummy. There's another one I did called Frosty the Vampire, in which there's your standard basic snowman with a carrot nose kind of sweeping up out of a deep freeze. And that, too, is self-explanatory, I hope.
You seem to really love wordplay.
I do. I'm stuck on words. I read labels all the time. And in fact, I misread a lot of things all the time. That's how I did a cartoon for Science 86 magazine in which the caption was monoclonal anybody's. And it has to do with me mishearing monoclonal antibodies on a radio broadcast. Well, the guy kind of slurred it, and I thought, yeah, why not just draw a bunch of people looking sort of dull?
You seem to also have an affection for cliches.
Love them. Stereotypes, too. They're swell. Cliches are wonderful in that if you can subvert them to create a different set of images than what the cliche intends, sometimes that can work very well in terms of humor.
Can you think of an example of one of your cartoons where you really used a cliché and turned it on its head?
Well, I don't know about a cliché. I suppose the word anatomically correct is sort of a cliché, and I was fooling around with it, and I had been reading about anatomically correct dolls, which are all the thing these days, and I just happened to have the image of anatomically correct voodoo dolls pop into my head. And it's sort of a way of subverting a popular mode of speech, I suppose.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Are there any journals or books, magazines that you like to read because of the language that's used in it? And, does the language in that provide you good material?
I do read New Yorker quite a bit, but that's largely simply because I like to read. I'll read almost anything I get my hands on. I read cereal boxes, instructions to the water softener. It makes no difference. I do tend to listen to a lot of radio and television news, though.
How come?
I like to have a steady input of patter, just kind of rolling by, particularly contemporary, timely patter. I'm likely to just throw cable news network on and turn my back to it while I'm working, and occasionally phrases will just jump right out and grab me and wrestle me to the ground and tie me up and force me point blank to the drawing board.
Can you think of one that did that?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. Well, I did Big Mac Attack in Iraq, and Iraq was in the news. The war was just getting underway. The Shah had died. The Ayatollah had taken over. And someone was talking about a big attack in Iraq. And it was followed by a commercial for a popular chain restaurant. And I just kind of drew some sort of Middle Eastern-looking fellow machine-gunning the heck out of a hamburger. You know, it's just silly.
Yes, it is. In the introduction to your book of cartoons, one of your editors suggests that readers try an experiment to pick any cartoon, show it to a bunch of friends, and ask them, what's the joke? And your editor says, I guarantee you'll be fascinated by the results.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does he mean by that?
I think sometimes people get highly interpretive with my stuff. Sometimes people think that perhaps I'm grinding an axe, or some people think that what I'm doing is a completely witless exercise. people do get different things from what I do. And in truth, from time to time, some of the things that I do, I am mystified by the response.
What's a cartoon whose response mystified you?
Well, there was one I did several months ago in which there was a little kid, and he's standing in the corner, and he's holding a little toy gun to his teddy bear's head, and he's got his arm clutched around the front of the teddy bear. And there's a horrified pair of adults looking around the corner, and the caption was "Hostage Situation at the Daycare Center." And I got a lot of hate mail on that. And for the life of me, I could not understand what it was that was upsetting people, aside from the fact that I was suggesting that it's within the realm of possibility that a little child might do something violent. From my experience, childhood is one of those violent stages of life. But that is not what I was doing. All I was doing was cracking a silly joke. And some people were kind of horrified that I could connect hostages, violence, and children in a humorous context.
When you started sending out your cartoons to weeklies and magazines, what kind of initial responses did you get from editors?
Responses have always varied between, we like the stuff, it's a little too weird, we can't run it. In recent years, evidently, weird cartoons are becoming a little bit more acceptable, and consequently, my work seems to be gaining a little bit more of a foothold in the marketplace. And the funny thing is that now, occasionally, I get comments from people saying, well, you're just a little too mainstream for us,
which confuses
me.
You just can't win, can you?
It confuses me no end, yeah, because I haven't really changed that much over the last 20 years.
Well, you syndicate yourself now, don't you?
Yes, I do.
So what are the advantages to syndicating yourself as opposed to going through a syndication service? I guess one of the answers is that you don't have to be accepted by the syndication service to syndicate yourself.
Well, that's part of it. From my experience, I only became close to becoming involved with a syndicate some years ago and decided I wasn't interested because they wanted me to come up with a single character that I had to draw every single day for the rest of my life, preferably some sort of character that they could turn around and market as a doll or something. And that didn't interest me. You may notice that I very rarely repeat characters, although I do have some on-running characters that I run in various places from time to time. I'm not particularly interested in drawing the same thing day after day, and I'm not particularly interested in letting editors pick my work apart and decide whether or not this strip can go and this can't. What I do is I send editors twice what they need and let them pick what they want. And if they don't like it, they don't have to run it. They always have more than they need for any given issue. If I were self-syndicating on a daily basis, it would be entirely different.
How did you first start cartooning?
Oh, I suspect when I was about 12, 13.
What kind of stuff were you doing then?
Certainly cruder than now, but I would say when I was about 15, I remember drawing what I think was something that headed me in the direction that I'm doing now. There was a fellow standing on a plane, and just kind of staring up, and there's a voice coming out of the clouds, and it's screaming, "I'm going to eat the universe, and I'm going to start with you." And I guess my approach to gags hasn't really changed much in the last 20 years.
Is there a cartoon you're in the middle of doing right now?
Yeah, I'm working on a kind of a large thing for a poster magazine that I'm part of. The caption would probably explain it all. The caption is "Snow Off White and the Seven Underachievers." And, of course, you know, there are people like Scruffy and Listless and Puffy and Guilty and Shady and Shaky and Shifty, what have you.
So, excuse me for a resume-type question here, but what are your ambitions for the future?
I'd like to do more books. I'd like to publish more cartoons in more places and eventually take over time and space as we know it. That's really about it.
Sounds good. Well, Pete, I'll let you get back to work.
Well, okay. Terry, it was very nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Cartoonist P.S. Mueller spoke to us from station WHA in Madison, Wisconsin. His book of cartoons, The Spread of Terror, is published by Bonus Books in Chicago. This is Fresh Air.